there's not enough on this side, there's some extras, I think, on that side. If you have extras over there, Moshe, I think people on this side don't have enough. In the first place of Mikdash, that's the only place where Berachas Kohanim was performed. By the time of the second base of Mikdash already, it was performed also in the base of Knesset. And we find that in the Tosfos the Sota. Also, we call it Duchanin because, of course, the Duchan, you went up to the Duchan. It's interesting, though, we just heard before that the Kohanim say the Berachas Kohanim from the steps. The steps going up to the Azara. So where's the Duchan? What happened was, when there were too many Kohanim and they couldn't fit on the steps, then they made a platform for them, the additional Kohanim, to stand on. That's why it was called Duchanim. Although actually the Kohanim did stand on the steps. Now, as we just discussed, that Berachas Kohanim was performed originally in Golus every morning with a minyan. Eventually, and this is interesting, because of the pressure of doing business, the Ramban Shulchan Aruch says that Duchanin was reserved for Yom Tov because it has greater simcha. So obviously you need simcha for Duchanin. And the Mishnah Berurah, in fact, states that people are better disposed to receive the divine bracha because of the simcha of Yom Tov. And therefore it was reserved only to Yom Tov. Because of business pressure, it was removed in Golus. I find that very interesting. And also the Mishnah Berurah states that it was done from Musaf. We discussed it now, but we didn't say why it's only done from Musaf. It was done from Musaf, the Mishnah Berurah says, Mefarish, because there is a greater attendance in Shul on Musaf. So even in time, so even 100 and 200 years ago, there's a problem with attendance for Shacharis. Okay, even on, of course, on Yom Kippur, we do Chanit, even because according especially to Rav Soloveitchik, it's Yom Kippur has great Simcha, because we know we're going to be Mechaper on all our Avonos. All right, now who calls up Kohen? We know that already. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a Shinoi, because in Eretz Yisrael, there's someone else calls up the Kohen. And outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's usually the Chazan himself, because in Eretz Yisrael, they follow the minig of the Gra. The Gra felt that another person should do it. In the U.S., we don't. And even if the shuls that have the minig HaGra don't listen to the Gra, they still have the Chazan call up the Kohen. Okay, that we were discussed about errors already. It's interesting that according to the Shulchan Aruch also, Kohanim not permitted to use two or three different nigunim. You have to use one nigun. One nigun for Birkas Kohanim, so they will not be mevalbel and they won't get mixed up. The melody. The melody in general. There should be one standard melody.
The Kohanim.
For the Kohanim, yeah. The niggun that you sing the words with. Whatever it is.
No.
Before and after. There are three minhagim. To say it before the words, after the words, or only before the... Yes, but you have to understand that that first of all, many Mefarshim are against that. They shouldn't say Rabbani Shalom. We'll talk about it in a minute. You should just know, whatever was done, the Shulchan Aruch says every word has to be pronounced with a pleasant voice with a festive melody, but only one form of melody. You can't mix up three or four different melodies in one Birchas Kohanim. Should be the same, standard, for each one. Whatever you do for Yerecha, you should do for Yisra and so on and so forth. Okay. That, here, this is it. The Avudarham and the Tur and the Fasi, quoting Sota 40a, are opposed to reciting psukim together with the words of the Berachas Kohanim. The custom began because the Kohanim extended their words with a nigun, and therefore it says that the tzibur should not sit idly by while the Kohanim are singing the prolonged melodies for the bracha. So therefore, it was instituted these Yiratzams. But according to the Abu Darham, the Turan al-Fasi, it's better to omit these psukim and not to say them, whatever the reason is, and of course the Yiratzams and so on. Yes? Yes, after each line. They say it, they're against it, it shouldn't be done. The only reason it was put in is because the Kohanim used to say extended melodies. Now, on Shabbos also, rules that Birkas Kohanim should be said on Shabbos of Yom Tov, then you just you omit the Yiratzons, because we don't do Bakasha, we don't have Bakashas on Shabbos of Yom Tov. The Chalomis anyway, we always have Chalomis. Now, you'll notice that for the old melodies that we're going to be talking about here, especially each word has a long melody. That's what they're talking about. This was the old style. And that's what led to writing, using these psukim. Now, the more recent in history examples have an extended melody before only the last word, before Vishmercha and so on and so forth. And some have in between all, there are three different points of view. The older is generally have for each word a separate melody, and the more recent only after the Yishmerecha. So let's take a look and see what it's like. Now, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia and others, and the Spanish Portuguese themselves, they claim that this is the identical melody sung by the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash. Seems a little unusual. Both Baer quote it and Jewish Encyclopedia quote it. But according to some, that seems kind of strange, because the structure seems to be only about maybe 500-600 years old. But I found a proof text that perhaps can prove that this old Spanish-Portuguese melody may have a link to Beis HaMikdash. Let's see how it goes. So this is the one. It's no longer used, by the way, in Spanish-Portuguese, this old melody, for some reason. Right. But they don't use this. But this is how it goes. Yeah, now it's very long, and you have to take a very long breath, which I don't have to finish this whole thing. So you have to take breaths in the I found something very interesting, that in the Edelson Thesaurus, under the Yemenite chants, there is the Yevarechacha. And you know, the Yemenites, their melodies go back easily 15 centuries. They were shut away. They had no communication in the outside world. They didn't take on foreign melodies. And they claim that their melodies go back to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, listen to this. Yevarechacha. It's a little less melismatic, but it's a similar structure. So it's very similar to what we just sang. So obviously they are linked. And if a Spanish Portuguese in the Spanish tradition was doing this, and they claim that it was the old Nigan that goes back to Beis HaMikdash based on the Yemenite, which is so similar, I would agree. What?
In both cases, it's spelled Yibarecha.
Yeah, because the Sfardim pronounced the vit as a bit. Stronger, right. Stronger than we do. Right. So you'll find that in most Sephardic sources, they use the bit instead of it. All right, so that's number one. So this melody may very well be a melody that was used toward the end of the Bayit Sheni. It's anyway interesting to speculate. All right, second page. There's the medieval niggin for the Niggin HaMesim. It was usually used on the Shabbos Matnas Yad. What is the Shabbos of Matnas Yad? Or the day of Matnas Yad. The last day of Pesach and the last day of Shavuos, the Haftorah ends with the word Matnas Yad. So those are known as Matnas Yad days. And at that time also, that's when Yizkor is usually done. So therefore, this niggin, that's very old, a very medieval ancient melody, came to be known as the Nigun HaMeitim, because it was done for Yizkor. Now you'll recognize it because it's very common. All right, good. So that the Matnas Yad was specifically done because of the Meitim. Okay. This, by the way, arranged by Chazen Naumburg. This arrangement specifically by Chazen Naumburg in Paris. It was published by Power and Cohn in 1896. Second style, it's considered part of the same melody, it's only a B part. Okay, now that we know is very old. We know this melody is back to medieval times.
Another very old melody. This one is found in the Jewish Encyclopedia of 1902, and also in now Ber as well. They claim this is the old Polish Birkat HaKohanim from the 17th century, which, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, I can know, it's used extensively in Britain. Now, Chazon HaNetz should be the only one who can tell us whether this is still used extensively in Britain, in England.
Yeah,
so it goes. Go on and repeat. No extended audio. And then the Kohanim sing. So there we are in the 1600s in Poland, a melody that transmitted at least for all from Britain. It was used in the 18th and 19th century. I remember hearing it. And in Germany. Also in Germany. This is from the Jewish Encyclopedia in 1902. That's 104 years ago. What? That's not a simple thing. Kohanim have to do music. They have to be very good. They have to be a gem. That's true. However, you will find out in Gullus that is not acceded to. In Gullus, the Chazon sings loudly, usually. In Eretz Yisrael, they're very soft. And
there's a lot of things.
Yeah, with Gullus, a lot of things wrong with Gullus. How is this wrong to begin with? Right. Especially, for instance, I was in Cape Town, South Africa. They do the system where they have a huge shul. For the Chazon shul is huge. Yeah, it must be a good city block or a city block. One side is the Aron Kodesh, and the other side is Dimon, where the Chazon davens from. See, he's about half from the Aron. I could hardly tell my other, you know, when I was davening. So the Chazon has to help. You'll find that also in the Italian shuls. You get at the other end of the shul. Now, if there was a tradition in Golis, I had to be far away on the outside room. This way, first of all, the Chazon faces the entire congregation, and the Aron was on the other side. Thanks, Portuguese. Pretty much do. All right, let's go ahead, gentlemen. Traditional Moroccan, which I found to be interesting, it almost sounds Hasidic to me. These are Moroccans that sound like Hasidim. This comes from the source in 1922. And so on and so forth. I thought that was interesting, guys. There's that one. Which is not too far away from the Greek tradition, the Anina tradition, which I found in Shirach book, 1992. And then each word sounds that way with that tune. That's the error. And then Shalom is Shalom. Same tune again repeated. Now, pastry is interesting because you see, it's mentioned that the Jews. The Yekusha tradition is the same for Shachar. Here it is. Here's a Duchin melody, by the way. They did not use the same melody for Shachar as they do for Musaf. They did not use a different one for Musaf. This is the Yekusha Matashad. Excuse me. One thing very interesting afterwards, I'll show you in a second. Say that. Let me just make sure we're on the same page here. Now that's Shabbos Shachad. Alright, now what happened? Let's go down to the bottom of the page. And in Shabbos, Minig is according to the Bear Baltzila from 1870. This is the way they did it. Listen, right? What's the idea? Who? The old idea. And then also for Shavuos, whether you indicate that it does have some ancient character to it. So here's that. I have those two dots, some of the two dots on the other line below the staff. It doesn't play any clatter. Adoshem Yisharecha Very Gregorian, very good. That seems to make me feel that is an ancient tune.
But it's interesting, you know, the previous one that you just sang before, when it comes to Shema Shema, straight.
Which it should be.
Yeah.
It's really what it should be, right. Right, we don't do that. That's right. You're absolutely right. There are two ayahs which you may find interesting at home. The one from the town of Shatsk, which is on this page, and then what you may have heard before. On page 5. Page 5 we have from the Zamorro number 3, printed in 1974, notated by Ramesh Nathanson. It's a well-known melody. You'll recognize where the arrow is. The melody comes in. Kohanim am kedoshecha kamur Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmerecha Aken Yiratzon Ya'er Hashem Anav Elecha Vichunecha, which is still used in some shuls as a tune for Ara Kohanim. Right. On page 6. My son began to daven in a Chabad shul in Baltimore, and he told me that there was a tune he never heard before. So I went looking for it. And this is a tune that they still use in many Chabad shuls right now. It was Anigin, which was composed by the Mittler Rebbe, Admor Hamtzai, found in the Chabad Sefer Nagum in 1957. Let me just get... Okay. And the Kohanim do the exact same thing with one additional triplet. Two additional triplets. And the whole thing goes on like this constantly, again and again and again. No, you have to have some... Yeah, the Kohanim have to go to the gym. You have to go to the gym. Right, this is a shorter one. Adoshem, Adoshem. It's very, very Chabad, very Chabad, very Lubavitch. And the Kohanim says, so obviously the first word is the longest. Right. So here it's more correct. Right. Okay. Now this is the famous tradition that was started here at Yeshiva University. Most Rabbonim who have spent their time in Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Seminary in the Yeshiva know this again and brought it back to their own shuls. We sing it in our shul. It was known as the Slabodkin Nigin. It was sung by Rav Lessin, who was the Mashgiach Ruchoni for over 40 years at Yeshiva. So after the first words are said, before the last word of the Pasuk, everyone sings, die, can harmonize, see, keep singing, I'll harmonize. This is a very powerful niggin. It's before the last scratch pasuk. But the Chazan leaves the Kohanim. The Kohanim sing it, but the Chazan leaves them. So what I do is I usually harmonize. I let them sing it, and I will sing the harmony. But it's a very powerful niggin. My original rabbi, Rabbi Riskin, and I, when we began together at Lincoln Square, he began to sing this niggun back in 1965. He wanted me to use it. And he told me that he was going from Brooklyn Talmudical Academy. He had gotten a four-year scholarship to Harvard. Four-year scholarship. He didn't have to pay a penny. And Brooklyn TA at that time gave you a free shvuas in Yeshiva University if you were graduating. So he went to Yeshiva University for shvuas, and he was a Kohen. And he stood next to Rav Lessen. And when he started singing this niggun, Rabbi Riskin says he was transformed. And he decided, I can't go to Harvard. I have to stay here. So his aunt took him to Rav Belkin and said, this young man wants to come to the school and he can't afford it. And he got a four-year scholarship at Yeshiva University. And eventually,
what became of him?
Rabbi Riskin? He's Rav Rashi of Efrat. Rav Rashi of Efrat. Sure. But obviously this had great power. It had great power. And when I was very young, yes? Neri Shrali sing it too? It's unbelievable. It has tremendous power. This has tremendous power, gentlemen. All right. That's interesting. Now, when I was... Yes, Peter. Yes. I don't know if it's standard, but I sing la la la, that's all. Ay-ay-ay, la la la. Is it a hefsek? That's an interesting question. Is it common practice for the chasm to sing the niggun? I have no idea. I've been in my shul for 40 years, so I haven't seen anybody else do it. So that's all I know is the 40 years of my shul that I've been doing it. Yes? Oh, it's better. You see, that answers your question. Binyamin. You said the chazanim have to have musical ability to see this. That's why the chazan has to sing it. The chazan has to sing it. In order, because most of the kohanim don't have musical ability, so he has to help them along. So, yeah, may have. That's true. Now, when I was a kid in New Haven, Connecticut, I heard this niggun, and I wonder if anyone else ever heard it. It's die, die, da da die, 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 die.
I stood behind the windows of Red Dover in Yerushalayim.
Double, you just
a second. And the Baltfile on Yom Kippur night.
Really?
I think Yom
Kippur night. Well, this is the niggun I heard. As a child, this is what I heard from the Kohanim. But it's interesting that the niggun HaMesim, they all have an interesting quality. The niggun HaMesim has this one note. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da die, die, die. A lot of them have that. Right, let's go.
How did it die?
Die, 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 die. Okay, enough of the Letzonos. Finally, the last page. Last page. Those of us who went to Cantorial Training Institute back in the 50s and 60s and through the 70s, Cantor Naumann wrote out a duchenin that's based on the Nigun HaMesim. It's a duchenin I even use, basically the form of it I even use today. And this is right from those sheets that we used then. So I'd like to present it to you. It's by Chazon Naumann. Kohanim Yivarechecho Adoshem It's like it reminds me of Ghost Riders in the Sky, right? I love that phrase. I Shalom. Now you said even though it has such a long niggin, and then the Kohanim start, ay, 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 ay. So again, you're right. You have to be able to hold your hands up for a long time to do this combination. I had, remember one gentleman came to me in 1970 and he said, look, I have an old sick father. He and Bamish can't hold up his hands that long. Right? So we got an Aaron and a Chur solution. We had two people standing on each side holding him up. But anyway, again, I echo the sentiments of Rav Adler. We should be able to, we have the schus to have the true bracha min hashamayim.